We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the NBA Front Office Show. Quick reminder, do subscribe to the NBA Front Office YouTube channel. Don't forget to go find us over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. I'm Trevor Lane. You can find me on Twitter at Trevor_Lane. Joined by Keith Smith at Keith Smith NBA. Keith, before we get into the basketball, Team USA advanced. It was a nail biter. I was on the edge of my seat. I probably lost a significant portion of my life from that game, but they got it done when the final whistle sounded. That sure felt good.
Yeah, absolutely. And that 9 minutes of stoppage time was just killer. All World Cup long. I mean, FIFA said at the beginning before the World Cup that they were going to push for full 90-minute games. They wanted the referees to really add as much stoppage time as they felt like they needed. And, you know, these games are now getting to the end, and then it's like, all right, 10 more minutes.
Right.
But I almost died when Haji Wright shot instead of just dribbling to the corner. But
it wasn't even a good shot.
No, it wasn't.
Like, if it was a great shot on net, to put the game away, I can at least understand. But, that was the worst outcome in that moment, was to do what he did there. I'm like, no.
Yeah, but they're through. They're through, and now we're on to the Netherlands on a Saturday morning.
So I had this discussion with Ron from Lakers Nation, and he's hopped on here as well. I said, now they're playing with house money. In my mind, they got out of the group stage. This is one of the youngest teams in the tournament.
Yep.
Now, whatever happens from here it's golden. They got through the group stage, and that was all I was really concerned about. Hey, if they somehow pull out the upset and win, great. I'll be thrilled. Yeah. But it's, for me, it's already a mission accomplished. They did what we were hoping they could do, and now let's just see what they do from here.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I play free and easy now, and just seeing. Netherlands hasn't looked great so far in the cup, so hopefully the U.S. men's national team can get it done. So we'll see.
All right, let's jump into some NBA news. To start things out, not good. Karl Anthony Towns out 4 to 6 weeks, dealing with a calf issue here. There was some concern about the Achilles being involved, but there's no structural damage to the Achilles. So this is a calf strain that will keep him out 4 to 6 weeks. I mean, is Minnesota glad they went and got Gobert now because he can at least provide some size, or you know, how much of a slide could we see from Minnesota without Towns out there?
Yeah, I mean, let me start with, this is not as bad as it looked like it might have been when it happened. I anytime anybody goes for the back of the leg, you instantly fear it's an Achilles.
Absolutely.
Right? You're like, well, that's that. But they for Minnesota, this comes at an absolutely terrible time. They are 10-11, so basically a quarter of the way through the season. They're just kind of muddling along around 500. And the challenge is, now what's going to happen is they're going to adjust. They're going to play a different way without Towns, or they're going to go to, my guess is, I don't think Naz Reid gets out there a lot with Gobert. They probably go back to the one big, one center lineup, and that's how they play it out. And then a month to a month and a half from now, so sometime end of December, middle of January, you bring Towns back, and then you're going to have to readjust everything again and basically relearn how to play together with the two of them. And that's tough, because by the time he gets back, if this takes the full 6 weeks, we're only about 2-3 weeks from the trade deadline. So then you're kind of, you know, all right, well, do we even know what we need to do? What do we have? You know, what is our record at? Because Towns obviously, you know, dominant offensive force. So there can be positives here. The floor will open up presumably a little bit more for Anthony Edwards. D'Angelo Russell probably gets more scoring touches, but this is a major, major loss for a Wolves team that is really, I think, underperformed what most thought they would be. Like I said, 10 and 11 right now, they are 11th in the Western Conference. So they'd be outside of the play-in tournament.
Yeah, that's a tough spot for them to be in, and not what they envisioned, but I mean, looking at the West, the bottom line is there's going to be multiple teams that are at least saw themselves as playoff caliber coming into the season who will be on the outside looking in. And that's just the reality of the West and how brutal it's going to be this year. This is not a good sign for Minnesota and where they're ultimately going to wind up. But we'll see. You know, they still have talent on this team. So it's not out of the question for them to kind of tread water here. But you're right. It is going to be a challenge, especially if it's closer to that 6-week mark, for them to get Towns back and reintegrated into this lineup.
Yeah, and to be fair, they're 10 and 11 and in 11th in their 2.5 games out of third. Right. So, I mean, it's not like, you know, they're so far out, but you just – now you got to hang in there. You got to go over the next, 4 to 6 weeks is probably somewhere in the 16 to 25-ish game range. I haven't done the actual math on that, but – you know, over let's call it 20 games. You really got to try to go like 11-9, so you're at least 500 by the time Towns gets back, and then you can push forward and make a little run.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's going to be the test now for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and we'll see what they can do. Let's jump over to the San Antonio Spurs. Kind of a minor move here, but they waived Jordan Hall, signed Alize Johnson. You know, I noticed, I think it was you that was responding on Twitter. You were surprised that they had waived Jordan Hall. What's the story there?
Yeah, Jordan Hall's only 20. He's a guy who, good all-around player, put up really good all-around stats in college at St. Joseph's. He was doing decent in the G League prior to the Spurs picking him up. So that's the kind of guy you would figure Spurs clearly in a rebuilding season. Call it tanking if you want to, vomiting for Victor, winless for Wemby, whatever you want to use.
I saw that in the piece that you promoted today. I saw hashtag vomiting for Victor. That was the first time I had heard that one.
I think that's mine. I've been using that one. I like that one because it's kind of gross but fun.
Yeah.
You know, so well,
tanking is supposed to be gross.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Tanking's supposed to be gross. So, but you should also have some fun with it. But yeah, and then Alize Johnson, it's not that he's a bad player by any means, but he's 26. We kind of know what he is as a player at this point. I just, you know, maybe more will come out. Maybe Hall wasn't working hard or something like that. At the end of the day, this doesn't matter. This is end of the bench roster guy, you know, on the Spurs. You know, Alize Johnson right now is a better player than Jordan Hall is. Maybe they just wanted a little more front court depth. I don't know, because he's more of a four than where Hall's more of a 2-3, despite the fact I think they're both about 6'7". They're just very different players. But this one just, I don't know, it didn't make a ton of sense to me.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, they should be trying to get as many young players as they can. And like you said, Alize Johnson, more of a known quantity, which what does it matter? You're the Spurs, you're tanking, you're doing everything you can to lose games. So, of course, not the players or anything, but as an organization, they're clearly looking to – they're hoping this will be their Tim Duncan year, right? Their year where they just bottom out.
Yep.
They pick up Wembanyama, and then off you go for the next two decades, right?
Exactly.
That's what they're hoping for.
Yep.
Let's head north. Let's jump over to Chicago. And – let's talk about the Bulls. Let's go. The Bulls are hoping for Lonzo Ball to return sometime early in 2023. So perhaps a January return, again, still dealing with those knee issues. If he isn't back sometime in January, if there is any kind of a setback, does that change the way the Bulls behave at the trade deadline?
It could. We talked about Minnesota being underachieving. Chicago's 9-11. They're 12th in the East. Again, they're 2-8 because it's still, you know, despite the fact we're a quarter of the way into the season, still fairly early. They're only 2.5 games out of fifth. So, you know, you're a couple good weeks out from, you know, being really solid. But it could, maybe. I mean, what it may do is if he's still going to be out, because I assume the Bulls will start to play better at some point. Maybe then you go looking for a point guard. And, you know, Ayo Dosunmu's done well. He's hung in there, but Kobe White, Goran Dragic is a little older. But you know, maybe you kind of, all right, Kobe White, maybe another contract. Can that go get us, you know, at least somebody passable at the point guard spot that can get us through. But hopefully Lonzo's the guy, right? That's you're hopeful. That's your midseason acquisition that he can actually get back. Cause he's been out a little too long right now for comfort. So, you know, So we'll see. Other Bulls news, Billy Donovan gets a contract extension. You know, that came kind of out of nowhere. Sounds like it's been done for a while. Been obviously the Bulls are like, we just didn't tell anybody. And, you know, here it is. But yeah, that came out and he's going to stick around in Chicago. And that's good. He's done a good job with that team since getting there.
Now, why would they do that? No, but seriously, we dealt with this in Lakerland, where Rob Pelinka got his extension and the Lakers said nothing about it. And it comes out 4 months later and people were still pretty upset when they heard that they had given him an extension. And especially when you found out the timing was like, hey, Frank, you're fired. Hey, Rob, here's an extension. Great job. You know, I mean, the optics were not good. Mm-hmm. So the Lakers obviously had reason to not let this out there. I'm not saying they had reason to give the extension. They had reason to not allow this to become public information. Why would the Bulls not mention that they had given an extension to Billy Donovan?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's really no reason. It's odd. With a coach. That definitely odd. Hey, can I do something here?
Yeah.
You know, real quick. You ready?
Yeah.
Throwing it back.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
The Simmons siren makes its triumphant return to the front office show. Breaking news here while we're on the show. And I just really wanted to play the Simmons siren because it's been
really long. I love it.
Not great news. He's going to be out at least 3 games. He's got a left lateral upper calf strain. So whatever that means, a left calf strain. So he's going to miss a little bit of time. He was out with a knee injury. You got to wonder, is that one of those overcompensation kind of things? Mm-hmm. And is that what caused some stuff for Simmons? But yeah, he's going to be out at least a few games. And it's just another team here in another guy down for the Nets. They just can't keep people together and keep it going. So that's tough.
All right. Well, yeah, that's not good news. I mean, good to hear the return of the Simmons siren, but yeah, not good news ultimately for the Brooklyn Nets or for Ben Simmons. Hopefully he heals up. Let's counterbalance that with some positive news. Chris Middleton back by the end of the week, coming back probably just in time to play my Lakers because, of course, honestly, probably wouldn't make a difference, but Chris Middleton probably back by the end of the week. Great to hear that he's getting healthy and can get back in there for the Bucks, who have been great even without him. Mm-hmm.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So this is a big win, I think, for the Bucks to get him back in there. And again, we talked about last year the playoffs. You could argue that they were a Chris Middleton away from maybe a finals run. This is important for the Bucks to get him back and get him fully healthy. And he's not the only one. James Harden also potentially returning for the Philadelphia 76ers. Getting him back in action is going to be important, especially now with Tyrese Maxey down due to injury. It feels like everybody has been down for the 76ers, but there's still plenty of time, plenty of basketball to play here for them to recover from these and get guys back and make a real run here. But Philly hasn't been, you know, the dominant team that we were thinking they might be so far this season.
Yeah, I think we thought they, but at least I know I had them slotted in right there with Boston, Milwaukee as kind of the top teams in the conference. I felt a little less sure about them because of these injury issues. Mostly that was related to Joel Embiid, but also a little bit of James Harden. Clearly, I had no reason to think Tyrese Maxey would be hurt. He didn't have anything like that on his history before. But yeah, but they're 12-9, so you got through most of this, right? And Embiid's back now. Now you're going to get Harden back. Maxey's probably another couple weeks away, and then you get him, and all of a sudden you're looking pretty good because you weathered the storm quite well. And Milwaukee, as you said, with Chris Middleton coming back, that was, you know, they've been great out of the gates. They've played really, really well. Their only, you know, reason they're behind Boston is because Boston is playing ridiculous, especially on the offensive end. But for my money right now, a quarter of the way through the season, Boston and Milwaukee have set themselves apart as the two best teams in the NBA. I don't think it's particularly close. And they're both missing key pieces. The Celtics are missing Robert Williams. Bucks are missing Chris Middleton. So you get Middleton back. I think he will be massive for that team because when they struggle offensively. So they need another guy who can create something, because all too often it falls to Giannis go make everything happen.
I don't remember off the top of my head. Who do the Celtics play on Christmas?
I think it's the Bucks.
I'm hoping it's the Bucks. Like, I was just, the thought popped into my head. I bet the NBA would try to do Warriors, Celtics again.
Bucks.
But I'd rather it be Bucks. So that's awesome. Yeah. Merry Christmas to us, because I think that's going to be a fun matchup.
Right after you'll finish your work day on Christmas, because Lakers Mavs up at 2:30 Eastern. They get the mid afternoon slot.
Yep.
So it's Christmas schedule: Sixers at Knicks, Lakers Mavs, then Celtics Bucks. Then we get a little break, and then Grizzlies Warriors and Suns and Nuggets. So Suns Nuggets is really fun for a nightcap, because those
two teams have been really that could good. Be a really good one.
Yeah, two best teams in the West game. Right now. Yeah.
Would be a lot of fun.
Yep. All right, that's a Christmas rematch, because they played last year in that game. That was really, really good. Milwaukee made a big comeback. Wes Matthews hit that big three-pointer at the end.
Robert Williams not back in time for Christmas?
We'll see. So video out of Boston today of him 5-on-5 scrimmaging full court. Full on, like, getting up to the top of the square for lobs and blocks, and looks pretty good. So they're not going to rush him. They keep saying, we're sticking to our timeline. Original timeline, it's Christmas-ish. It's right around in that range where it could be, you know, right then, maybe wait a week, and it's the beginning part of January. But right around that point in time. So we're a month, you know, ish out from Robert Williams probably coming back.
That'd be cool if both teams were 100% for that matchup. That would make it all the more fun.
Measuring stick for the two teams too, to really see where are we at.
Absolutely. All right, let's jump over to another front office decision here. James Jones promoted to president of basketball operations for the Phoenix Suns, still in the GM role, but he's done a nice job for them over the last few years here. And the Suns bouncing back again, looking like the best team in the West, or one of the best teams in the Western Conference. So not a surprise that that James Jones is getting some accolades there and getting a little a bump here.
Yeah, he's done a really nice job. I thought, you know, Ryan McDonough did a good job building the foundation of that team, but then James Jones has come in and done a really nice job taking them to the next level with his acquisitions. And they've done so well without Chris Paul. Chris Paul hasn't really played in about 3 weeks. So they're playing really, really good without him. And that's something in and of itself, is, you know, that they're still just kind of chugging along. Devin Booker having an outstanding season. Yeah. DeAndre Ayton doing his thing. Mikal Bridges. And I know we're going to get to it. Still maybe a Jay Crowder trade. I like to think James Jones, president of basketball operations, that's James Jones. And then he goes and, like, talks to Jimmy Jones, the GM. And he's like, Jimmy, what do you think? Should we do this Crowder trade? And he's like, James, I think we should. And he's like, all right, I talked to Jimmy and we should do this. But I don't think that's probably how it's going to play out, but that's just how I like to imagine it.
So he's like Dwight Schrute, where he has to be his own assistant because he's the only one he trusts.
Correct.
Gotcha. Perfect. Gotcha.
Yeah. He did say, in fairness, he did say, hey, we may hire a GM down the line. What is interesting is that they even did this while the team's for sale, because that's kind of right. The one who makes this decision is generally the owner. Now, in this case, Robert Sarver didn't, because he's not running the team anymore as he's on the year-long suspension. So now let's not be naive and silly. Of course, he had some level of say in it, but yeah, I mean, in the end of the day, good for James Jones and at least good for the Suns to have that stability as you transition ownership groups and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Let's dive into Jay Crowder here. So the Wizards are now among the teams that have registered some interest in Jay Crowder. Surprised by that team? And what would a potential trade look like if it's a Washington Phoenix deal?
Yeah, it's funny because I immediately saw Suns fans saying, well, it has to be Kyle Kuzma. That's the only way it works. And what's kind of funny with that is, well, it isn't for one, right? Like there are other constructions you can make work, and there's a whole bunch of them. Crowder makes, you know, about $10.5 million or so. And then, so that's a very easily tradable contract. You only get to send about $7 million or so back to get there. So I think if you're the, if you're the Wizards, you're probably maybe like Rui Hachimura if he's not part of your future going forward. And they've got to decide something because you've got Hachimura, you've got Denny Avdia, you've got Kyle Kuzma. Kuzma needs obviously a new contract. He's played really well. I would assume they want to re-sign him. Hachimura is up for a new deal too. That becomes a little tricky. You add Crowder to the mix. He would also then be up for a new contract. So that's too many guys. So it's got to be somebody from that group. So my guess is it's like Hachimura and maybe a pick. My issue for the Wizards is, fine, go get Jay Crowder. It's not going to be a bad move, but where are you going with this? Like, how high do you think this lifts you? They're right now 11-10. They're seventh in the East. They're right in that kind of crowd of teams from 5 to 12 in the East. So, you know, it just feels like, and I tweeted about this, feels like Washington is just forever destined to go get good, but never great players. Always be okay. Never really a contender, never bad enough to get a great player, just kind of always in the middle.
And treadmill team.
Yeah, that's not really where you want to be, not for too long. It's fine if you've been bad and you step up to that, you know, for a year or two, that's totally understandable. But you just, you know, kind of stuck there. That's tough.
I mean, obviously you can put other pieces into a deal and everything like that. And if I'm a Suns fan, the first thing I'm thinking too is, oh, Kyle Kuzma, because you think of the best player you could possibly get. So I'm thinking Kyle Kuzma, but from the Wizards side, how does that help you? You'd rather have Kyle Kuzma than Jay Crowder. So, and you know, maybe you can say there's other assets added in or something, but yeah, that's where I kind of stumbled too, was what do they actually trade? And is it something the Suns want? Maybe they would do something around Kuzma, but I don't see that being – I don't see a swap for Jay Crowder as being something that helps the Wizards win games.
Yeah, unless the Wizards are getting a pick out of it, if it was a Crowder and a pick. And I don't necessarily know that the Suns want to go that direction, right? I think that gets a little messy there. You know, and then if you're Washington, you're kind of looking at it and saying, I think we'd like to be a playoff team, so let's try to, you know, get Crowder while – getting him for non-rotation players if we can and go that way. So I don't know. This seems like one where it's kind of like, all right, there's interest, but is there really a match? I don't know. It doesn't make a ton of sense.
Yeah, agreed. It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me either, but we'll see. Like, ultimately, we're going to see a Jay Crowder trade, and we are inching closer to December 15th, which is the unofficial start to NBA trade season. So it wouldn't shock me if sometime after December 15th, like, relatively quickly, we see some type of Jay Crowder move, just because this has been out there for so long and there's been plenty of time for discussion and all of that. I do wonder if it's just going to take some pieces becoming available on the market because they're guys who sign contracts.
That's exactly it. I think this may already be potentially done, and we're just waiting for those trade restrictions to lift.
That's interesting. Hopefully we do get a fun and exciting trade season here for the NBA. But Keith, I think that's about it.
Oh, wait, Knicks made a two-way move. Farron Hunt was waived, and they added Daquan Jeffries. So fairly minor move. My guess is this was a Jeffries starting maybe to get a little interest from other teams. He's been kind of on and off NBA rosters throughout his time. So they may be in a spot where it is you know, all right, we're going to grab him, you know, just and get him on our roster there, but not likely to have any major impact. I mean, we talked about it a couple of days ago. Tibbs doesn't even play like former first rounders. He's certainly not going to jump in there and start playing a bunch of guys who are, you know, from the G League. So we'll see how that goes. Evan Fournier too. That's another name. Keep an eye on him on the trade talks, because he is completely out of the Knicks rotation. He doesn't even get in at all in games anymore. And you know, I still think he's somebody who could help a team, you know, in a relatively, you know, easily tradable contract.
It is the only, but there's another year on it.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to have to give up something in order to get someone to take him?
I don't know. I think that might be a, hey, you take ours, we'll take yours, and see if something balances a little bit better. Because it's not terrible. $18 million this year, $18.8 next year. That's, you know, and then that final year is a team option. So that, you know, might as well, you know, not even exist for those purposes. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I could see that very easily being like, you know, hey, you take our questionable fit guy who makes about the same amount of money, and we'll go. They do. The Knicks are sitting on an extra first round pick though. So if it was like, hey, we're going to give you a guy's a little bit better than Fournier with a little bit better of a contract, but you're going to give us a pick too, maybe they could do that, because they are sitting on a couple extra firsts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe an opportunity there to make a move. All right. Well, I think that about wraps things up for today. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Again, make sure that you do subscribe to the NBA Front Office YouTube channel. And don't forget to go check us out over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. Go Team USA. Making it through. Still so excited from that. Till next time, everybody. See ya and stay safe.